you have a good trip back. Okay. We have come to the last case of the day, and that is 082519, Umizuriki versus Holder, and it's Mr. Mwange.
Good afternoon, Judge, Your Honors. My name is Emmanuel.
Good afternoon.
May I please the court? My name is Emmanuel Mwange, and I represent Mr. Umizuriki, the petitioner. We file this petition because we believe there is something wrong with the regulation or regulations that trap people and exposes them to risks such as death. This is what happened when the IJ did by interpreting the regulations to the extent that she did. We're asking this court to vacate the Board of Immigration Appeals decisions denying petitioners motions to reopen and motion to for reconsideration. The reasons are outlined in our brief, and this court has jurisdiction. Our case is based on the agency's discretion to grant or deny asylum, but not withholding and CAT relief, Convention Against Torture relief, simply because the petitioner failed to show up for fingerprints. In fact, the Cardoza-Fonseca case outlines the standards, which are not the same. They are different for asylum, different for withholding and Convention Against Torture relief, which is more likely than not. In this case, the immigration court failed to test the case for either asylum, withholding, or CAT relief because the petitioner was denied any meaningful opportunity to testify on the record as to the completeness of his application, as to the evidence that was before the court, even well before the authenticated copies were filed with the court. We believe that the government has no authority to do this. The issue then becomes, does the government have the right to do what was done, and we believe no.
Now, did you ever argue before the BIA specifically that the immigration judge had failed to give you proper notice of the consequences of failing to timely provide fingerprints?
Judge, honestly, I don't believe that we specifically made that argument before the BIA.
Then hasn't the argument been waived?
Judge, the petitioner still has a due process right and due process benefits to be heard and present evidence before the court. I believe that the government has briefed this issue and indicated that we waived such by not indicating, but the record is very clear, and I believe it's administrative record 00125. We did brief that particular issue before the Board of Immigration Appeals. In any event, even if we had failed to brief that particular issue, I don't believe that the petitioner would waive it simply by not briefing it before the BIA, because it's a fundamental right that we believe that the petitioner cannot waive. Indeed, the agency actions are contrary to the law. The law requires that the petitioner be put on notice. When the petitioner was put on notice, that was the first time that the petitioner appeared before the immigration judge. There was a merits hearing that was scheduled subsequently, but unfortunately, counsel for the petitioner failed to appear because he was hospitalized and in intensive care. Any admonitions that had been given to the petitioner before that date, we believe, dissipated, and the law required, specifically because there were new regulations that were enacted subsequently, that he be put on notice of the requirements and the consequences for not appearing for fingerprinting before that date. Also, the record includes that the petitioner did make diligent efforts to have to be fingerprinted by going to the Milwaukee ASC Center for fingerprinting and was told that they had to be called by the supervisor who was on leave then. That is in his affidavit. That is in counsel's affidavit in the record.
Now, we have this, this is a denial of petition to reopen, which you're appealing, right?
Beg your pardon, Judge?
The denial of the petition to reopen is what's on appeal, isn't that right?
And the motion for reconsideration.
Yeah, and we have this Kuchana case that we're dealing with, so you might as well address that.
The Kuchana case?
Yeah, the one that's going before, I guess it's before the Supreme Court.
Yes.
We have our own precedent in this circuit. There's a, obviously, the, at least it's, I believe it's been granted cert. This case has not been, this case is still, our case is still there, I guess. It's sort of been a little bit up in the air. I guess you can address that. Because we may put this off until the Supreme Court rules. We may rule conditionally. We may do something else.
Judge, we believe that the, until that happens, Kuchana is still the law. And we believe that litigants are entitled to reasoned decisions, as the Matthews case amply demonstrates. And unless they're given that opportunity, we don't see any other avenue through which they could exercise the benefits that they're entitled to. So you're right, Judge. If Kuchana were to be overruled, then, you know, it would no longer be law. But until then, I think it is good law, and it is the law of this court and precedent that dictates the outcome of this issue.
Which doesn't help you any.
Beg your pardon.
And that doesn't help you.
No, it wouldn't in that case. Right. The government also claims that we failed to exhaust the administrative remedies. But there are two things here. There is the ministerial aspect of it, and then what the government does is put all together the first requirement of the Real ID Act, but does not address that portion that involves the conjunctive and, which has additional requirements. This is not a traditional exhaustion, as it were, where someone, for example, has to go, in a habeas case, for example, has to follow a strict roadmap from this court to another court, such that if they fail to do so, they will be deemed to have failed to exhaust their remedies. This is court stripping, as this court has previously indicated, and exhaustion together. And we believe that this is not a case where we have failed to exhaust administrative remedies in the traditional sense. And we urge this court to remand this case back to the immigration court so that the alien or petitioner may be afforded the opportunity to present his testimony and evidence, which have been with the court for more than a couple of years before the court received the authenticated versions of that evidence.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Wendell?
May it please the Court, my name is Anne Tumai Wendell. I represent the United States Attorney General. Petitioner's challenge to the agency's denial of his request for continuance and motion to reconsider are not subject to review under this Court's precedent and should therefore be dismissed. In any event, his other claims lack merit and the petition should be denied in the alternative. So in that regard, the Court need not abate the proceedings in light of the pending cert before the Supreme Court in Kuchana.
Now, you think we don't have jurisdiction, correct?
Your Honor, not under the Court's precedent under Ali and Kuchana and Johnson.
We have jurisdiction to review questions of law, do we not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, whether or not the IG was required to provide sufficient notice of the consequences of failing to submit timely fingerprints, I would think that would be a question of law.
Your Honor, that would be a
question. Regulation requires the IJ to provide such notice.
Yes, Your Honor, but that question has not been presented in this case. In effect, petitioner's claim is actually a challenge to the agency's exercise of discretion. He did not raise that claim before the court and before the immigration judge. And in fact,
but
the record.
But he couldn't have argued it before the immigration judge.
He could have argued
because
it.
Because the issue wasn't in play until after the immigration judge terminated his petition for failure to submit the fingerprints.
Respectfully, Your Honor,
he certainly could have made the claim to the BIA, on the other hand. And that's my question. It looks as if he did not.
Correct, Your Honor. However, he also could have at least challenged the underlying notice requirement that he's challenging really was not altered by the enactment at 8 CFR 1003.47, which he now raises for the first time on review.
Did the immigration judge ever tell him that failure to submit his fingerprints on time would constitute abandonment of the application?
Your Honor, the pre-hearing order indicates that his failure to submit documents, comply with the filing deadlines, including appearing for the fingerprints, could subject him to having his application and documents deemed abandoned and waived.
Is telling an applicant that documents not filed on time will be deemed waived the same thing as telling an applicant that fingerprints not filed on time will cause the proceedings to be terminated? After all, fingerprints are not documents.
Your Honor,
and more importantly, having documents rejected is far different than having the claim terminated as abandoned.
Yes, Your Honor. And there are two responses to that. First of all, referring to the court to the pre-hearing order at page 193, then the record indicates that the judge referred to the provision C below, which provided the deadlines for not only the evidentiary documents, but also for appearing for fingerprints prior to the subsequent merits hearing. But the main part of that is the second point is that the immigration judge denied the request for a continuance for two reasons, and that being because of the alien's failure not only to fail to timely present himself for fingerprinting, but because he also did not comply with the extended filing deadlines for the documentary evidence. And that clearly, under the regulation existent at the time, 1003.31C, that provision stated simply that if an application or document is not filed within the time set by the immigration judge, the opportunity to file that application or document shall be deemed waived. So the combination of both his failure to appear timely for fingerprinting as well as the failure to submit the documentations timely subjected his application to waiver and abandonment. And that would be appropriate for the immigration to do. There was no absence of notice here. In fact, he doesn't dispute he was aware of the filing deadlines and that he had an obligation to comply with it or deal with the consequences of noncompliance. Here, petitioner was given not only notice but ample opportunity to present his evidence as well as the new fingerprints. But he didn't do so. Over the course of 2 years and after adjournments of 15 and 14 months, here the main defect of his claim is that he simply has not shown that he acted with diligence. And the immigration judge's reasoning was consistent with the statute. He doesn't, in fact, challenge the denial as being something that would be subject to review. And his legal question, aside from being unexhausted, is flawed. His other claims are that, the board did not provide an adequate basis for denying his motion to reconsider, and that is clearly not evident in the record. And this court stated in Ali and the board stated in OSG that where he's simply renewing his previous claims that were considered below, that there is no basis for finding that actually would be an adequate basis for the board to deny the motion. Finally, he also asserts that somehow because withholding is a mandatory opportunity for relief, that ties in with the motion to continue. But he's mixing apples and oranges. The problem here was that the denial of the continuance was premised on his own failure to comply with the deadlines. After that, the court said, or the immigration judge stated that, well, you are given ample opportunity and notice of these deadlines. Why didn't you comply? He provided broad assertions, and there's no details in his affidavits concerning the timing of his efforts. If anything, he only mentions one date, which was in January 2007, a few weeks prior to the hearing date, which still would not be satisfactory. His dispute here ultimately stems not from the agency's exercise of discretion or the lack of a or just even any issue with the fairness of the hearing. Rather, it stems from his own inability to show that he acted with diligence in pursuing his claims. He's therefore failed to establish any error in the agency's decision, and under this court's precedent, then the case should be dismissed for lack of jurisdiction, and otherwise, if there is any concerns about abating for Kukana, the petitions for review should be dismissed because it is effectively simply a challenge to the agency's discretionary determinations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Wendell. All right, Mr. Milwaukee, how much time? 2 minutes.
Thank you. Just to clarify.
Yeah, they're over there. Okay.
When the regulations changed, they were codified in the Federal Register, contrary to what the government says. Secondly, 1003.47 specifically requires admonition. That was never done. With respect to the adjournments, there's only been one adjournment, and that was at the request of counsel, and specifically because counsel was hospitalized at Frederick Hospital due to a chronic blood condition. That's the only adjournment that the petitioner ever requested. The other adjournment was requested in January 22nd, specifically to enable the court allow time for the results of the fingerprinting. We take the position that the court had three or four options. Could have taken his testimony and waited for the fingerprint checks to come back. The court could have checked with the system because it clearly has the ability to do so. These things are computerized and could have done that. Court could also have taken testimony and delayed the decision until those background checks were back. The court did not do so. Again, we request that this court respectfully remand this court back, this case back to the lower court, to the immigration court. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mwangi, and thank you, Ms. Wendell. And the case will be taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until Wednesday of next week. Thank you. You both have a good trip back this week.